You have found Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggles, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Past episodes of the Authentic Business Adventures program can be found on the podcast link at drawincustomers.com. We are coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Radio Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kademan, entrepreneur, author, speaker, and helpful coach to small business owners across the country. Today, we are welcoming slash preparing to learn from Nikki Conkle, the owner of Paradise Salon in Sun Prairie. Nikki, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I've been trying to get you on the show for the better part of since we started.
Pretty much.
So finally, you're in the studio. This is awesome.
Nail me down.
So that's right. You're probably busy. A lot of stuff going on.
Absolutely.
So tell me a story about Paradise. How long have you guys been around?
Paradise has been around since 2013, January 2013.
Okay,
so
nice. You're talking six plus years?
16 plus years.
16 plus 13.
Years? 13. No, three. Oh, my goodness. So, no.
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
Okay,
yeah.
Nice. And you moved. I know you're at one location, then you had to move to a different location.
Right. We started out in Windham Hills subdivision, just behind Gus's Diner in the strip mall there.
Oh, that's right. I forgot all about that.
Years and years ago. And actually, when we started, I wasn't an owner. I was just a manager.
Oh, really?
Yep, okay. I was hired on as a manager.
Well, that's a perfect segue to how did you become the owner of Paradise.
Right? Well, I was looking to maybe get back into more of a public customer service setting. I had left the salon business for a while, and my kids were little, and we lived right down the street from this, and I had contacted my old business manager, I guess, for a salon I worked for, and asked her if I could use her as a reference. I was actually looking to get into party planning or something along that lines.
Hold on. So starting your own business, though?
Not necessarily. Working for a company, maybe, or planning their events.
Okay. Sure.
That type of thing.
Okay.
So I had got on with a company to help me look for that, and I was using my old manager as a reference.
As a reference, sure.
And she said, well, you know, I'm actually opening a salon a block from your house. And I was like, really? She needed a manager. I went home and I talked to my husband, and we felt that it actually was going to be a good move because we lived and I could work and my kids would be in school right across the street.
Oh, nice.
So it really worked well. So again, it opened in 2003.
Okay.
Let me get the date right.
Sure.
In January 2003. And about a year after we opened is when I bought in. We had actually years ago had made a second business out of it, saying called Sheer Sports, which was more of a men's themed type situation.
Sure.
And then everything was going well, but a couple years after that, we had opened a small little salon in downtown Madison, and we decided to break away. It was just a lot of work. She was more downtown. I was more in Sun Prairie.
Sure.
And ended up buying her out about...
Of the Sun Prairie one specifically?
Out of the Sun Prairie one specifically. And she took over downtown, and I took over Sun Prairie.
Okay.
And
was it amicable? Like everything was cool?
Very amicable. We still talk today. She still comes in and helps us out occasionally. And
oh, nice.
So, yeah.
She's still running the downtown one?
Yep. She had since moved and is in another location as well. But,
oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. So it was really good.
Very cool.
That was kind of how I made my entrance into the business owning world.
Sure.
I guess.
Was there ever any desire to own your own business, or did you just plan on being a manager and taking care of it that way?
I think we always desire to maybe be our own boss someday, because you know, there's all those good things out there, because
bosses can be a pain.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you make tons of money and you get to choose your own hours, and
that's totally just start your own business. That's exactly how it works.
Exactly.
From
exactly
day
how
one.
It works. little did I know that that's not the case, but,
no.
So we're still friends, and that's kind of how it got started.
So tell me a story here. Was it tough to come up with a number to figure out what it would cost to buy her out, or to get the money to buy her out?
Oh, my goodness. You're asking me questions here from so long ago.
Because I imagine she's like, I want gazillions of dollars.
Yeah.
And you're like, you know, I want to pay you a little less than that.
Yeah. I mean, we definitely had multiple meetings on what we felt was fair.
Sure. Because in the end, it's a book of business, right?
Yeah.
It's not like you have semi-trailers or something tangible.
Correct. You know, and did take into consideration that she never really necessarily worked in the location. So we definitely took it into consideration that I built it to where it was at that point as a manager. I definitely had some investments into it. Since I had bought in a year into it. So we kind of did a, I guess, a hairstylist way of figuring out how much something was in. We never do anything by the book. And I settled on a price.
Cool. Okay, so everybody's happy.
Everybody's happy.
Were there any challenges with employees once you became the owner?
There's always a little bit of challenges.
Or more challenges. I say specifically attributable. To that.
When we first started as a salon, we started, which is fairly common and more so back then, or more so actually today now even, doing more independent contracting.
You rent out chairs and stuff like that?
Right, yeah. Per se, they're working for you under your business name. But you are, I guess, cutting them a commission check. And then it's up to them to...
Build their book.
Their, you know, they were responsible for their taxes. It was kind of a dream. It was super easy for me. When we decided to expand out, a group of girls had come to me after their salon that they had worked for had closed. More unexpectedly than what they were thinking. And, you know, they weren't really interested in the independent contracting. One girl was looking at getting her hairstylist license, a cosmetologist license, and so, which would mean I would need to do an apprenticeship. Well, to be an apprenticeship, you need to have them as an employee. And so that's when I really started looking at transferring, going from independent contracting to just having employees.
And once you make that switch, I imagine that has to be across the board.
You know, we tried to do a little bit of both for a little while, but it obviously this person, you know, gets annoyed because this person's getting different, I guess, privileges. And
it's tough to
and
see who's making money. And
I decided to make the overall decision to just go strictly employees. I felt as a business owner, it would give me better control over their hours. I guess a little bit more of say of how they were doing things as well. And
that's
and,
fair.
And that and schedules. So,
totally fair.
So yeah, I would guess maybe a few years into it is when I couldn't give you the exact date.
That's okay.
And I will tell you that that was a big learning experience for me.
Because I imagine some people fell off. They're like, no, I want to be 1099, whatever. I don't want to be an employee.
You know, I think at any business, it definitely is a learning curve as you go. You know, I felt, you know, going into it, I'm like, okay, I did some bookwork. I did some administrative assistant. I know how to pay bills. I know how to ask people to pay their bill. And, and that. And I guess that's what I thought was all included in it. You know,
that's
like, okay,
that's totally it. There's nothing to it.
And I get to sit and talk and do hair all day. And,
it's magical.
But, payroll ended up consuming my life. That was when, you know, you still had to get the little brown books out and look at the tax tables and stuff. Again, you learn as you go, and decided I hired an accountant on at that point and outsourced my payroll at that point, and that kind of freed up some things. But, you know, some of the learning things that I didn't know about was getting business licensing, you know, sales tax licensing, all that, all the hidden stuff that you don't know about.
Kind of a big deal.
But so using attorneys and accountants really helped me in the beginning as well.
So when you first started, did you, because you were management essentially, this, your business partner was, or business partner-ish, I guess, was taking care of a lot of that stuff? So it was just out of sight, more or less?
Yeah, initially, when I started on as the manager the first year, she definitely took care of all of that. When I bought in a year in is when I started taking over more of the daily books. You know, paying more of the bills, you know, getting the payroll together and, and such. But it really was taking me away from what I really love to do, which was being behind the chair and talking with clients and, and stuff. So sometimes it can be a lot to balance, a lot to juggle, you know, and having young kids at the time, too. It was a lot. I feel that even after 16 years in business, I'm still learning every day.
Awesome. So true.
Everything changes all the
time.
So.
Sure. That's awesome. So how many employees did you have when you bought this woman out?
I guess back then, gosh, I would maybe even have to say like 10 employees.
Okay. Possibly. Oh, so it's a decent sized business.
Yeah. I mean, I've had up to even 13 employees at one time. Oh, wow. As well. So.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Okay. That has to be tough to juggle just from a scheduling standpoint, I imagine. And
generally in this industry, we have a set schedule. So that wasn't probably the worst part of it.
Sure. Did you have 13 chairs then?
We did at the Lowell location. We had about, I guess, 9 chairs.
Okay.
9 chairs.
Okay. So there's a little bit of juggling, but not the end of the world.
Yeah, a little bit of juggling. Okay. So, you know, we don't, and that would include receptionists and nail technicians as well.
Gotcha.
So they
didn't always. So not all hairstylists.
Correct.
Stuff. Okay.
Correct.
Gotcha. All right. So the business, when you did move, why did you move? Was it a, you want to be more in Sun Prairie thing, or I guess, yeah.
Okay.
I won't speculate. You just
no,
tell me.
That's okay. That's okay. Again, we were in a strip mall situation, renting, of course. It was getting to the point where I wasn't happy with the direction the landlord was going with, just
fair.
The upkeep outside. Mm-hmm. One of our tenants that were in the building, a neighbor of ours, wasn't really a great neighbor.
Gotcha.
So there were some things that I was definitely unhappy with being in that location. I just didn't feel like it represented the business that I was trying to put out there very well.
Mm-hmm.
So I had started looking for new property, looking at renting. I had looked over in the New Prairie Lakes area when that was all started. That was just a thought, I guess, at that time.
Right.
Which has blown up.
It's just a hole in the ground for a target, right?
So I started looking around that. I came across the location that I'm in now on Main Street, and it was a real estate office at the time. Mm-hmm. And we started looking, and as we met and looked over options, I was given the option to rent to own the business.
Nice.
So, yeah, it sparked my interest, and we came up with some numbers. And so I signed a lease.
Mm-hmm.
He said that I would have my landlord that I had. I had approximately, I think, 3 years to buy it.
Okay.
Or first right of refusal.
Sure.
So about a year after we were in there, so then when did we move there? So that was 6 years ago. So that would have been.
Was it really?
Yeah. Six years ago.
Time
in
flies.
April. I know. About a year after we had moved in there, I guess the stars aligned and I was able to purchase the building outright.
Very
so,
cool.
Just, I think you kind of had to ask why I had left there and just to have more control, show the people what Hairdice is.
Sure. So you get the culture of the business and people see even the way the building looks inside and outside is totally reflective of the business.
Right. And, you know, that's what I hear a lot about is just, you know, it definitely has the street appeal, the curb appeal, I guess, if you will. And
it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Totally understand.
Definitely. Definitely reflects on who we are, I guess.
Sure. Was the build out a challenge at all?
It was a little bit. It took us about 6 months, so not horrible.
No.
But it was, like I said, it was a real estate office. Some had been done previous, but we had to pull out a lot of carpet. Put in tile, you know, a lot of plumbing.
Sure. Plumbing. I was just going to ask you about that because they have so many sinks and stuff. That's one thing I see when I'm looking at commercial property. Any hair place has tons of plumbing.
Yeah, tons of plumbing. Yeah, so that was a little bit of a challenge, but it worked out okay. We do have basement access, so we do have a basement. So they were able to get down and through there. And so we did a lot of the work ourselves, too.
Okay.
A lot of sweat equity into it, so
that's
makes
fair.
You appreciate it a little bit more, I think. But
definitely.
So a lot of painting, changing it to our style, I guess. And then we had didn't need the whole building. So then at that time, too, we had decided to drywall off some area and make a rental unit as well.
So, very cool.
So at that time, I had actually created a real estate, I guess, or a commercial rental business as well. So
nice. And has that been okay, renting out commercial property?
Yeah, yep. We had a tenant not too long after, which I've had for the last, I guess, 6 years. And now he will be leaving.
Okay.
And I'm getting a new tenant in. So.
Sure. I will the old in with the new.
That's right.
That's just how rentals work.
That's right.
So I did want to ask you, because you have a ton of construction going on next door.
Yes.
Has that been disruptive at all, or? Yes. I didn't even know what's going up there.
It's more apartments.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We need some.
Yeah,
okay.
We need some more to, you know, we need people to eat all the pizza in town.
Sure.
So. But yeah, it's, you know, it feels like we've been dealing with construction for a while, because we had it going on across the street from us as well.
You did.
And
the grocery store closed, turned into
St. Vinny's,
yep, sure.
Yep, and then shortly after that, then they bulldozed the vacant lot there.
That's right.
Which, yeah, you know, and a lot of customers ask us, you know, do we like the apartments? Do we not like the apartments?
Mm-hmm. It's people that need their haircut, right?
Right, yeah, I definitely welcome the prospective clients.
Right.
However, I do get some concerned with the traffic.
Traffic is a thing.
On Main Street, yeah. Our clients already sometimes can sit a little longer than they would like to.
Yeah. You avoid making a left turn out of there.
Yeah. It can be difficult some days. You know, and with the constructions that there are now,
sure,
it does harbor a little bit of our view, or makes right. a little bit of a, I should say, a hazard when you're pulling out of the parking lot, because you can't necessarily see to the left very well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've come in where certain companies that are working with them will block off part of our parking lot.
Oh.
So I have to let them know that they are not allowed to do that.
Yeah, you can totally do it. It'll just cost you $1 million a minute.
Right. And that was one of my biggest concerns, too, when I did find out that there were more apartments going in next door. I know they originally had talked about not having enough underground parking spaces, so they're going to have some on top. Which then I get concerned, are they going to have enough parking, period? Are they going to start parking in my lot?
Yep.
So I definitely have concerns. And right now, you know, with dust and noise and all of that. But
right. Will it be retail on the bottom and then apartments on top, or just?
No retail in this one.
Just a bunch of apartments.
Yep.
Interesting. Okay.
So,
all right. Yep. So, yeah, it was interesting. Last time I was at your place to get my hair cut, I remember pulling in the parking lot and thinking, they're digging that hole awfully close.
Like, there's
not much of a gray area there.
No, and I mean, they are putting a nice board-on-board fence there to separate our two properties.
But, okay.
They've used
every square inch
of that property. So,
sure. Interesting. Yeah. So tell me, you've been in business for a while. What have been some of your biggest challenges?
Biggest challenges
outside
is...
Outside of moving construction.
Yeah.
The 20 that we just talked about.
Yeah, right. I think the biggest, is employees and
fair.
You know, you go through your trials and tribulations with employees, and you know, in the beginning, I took it very personally if somebody left.
Oh, sure.
You know, I kept trying to tell myself, you know, it's not you. They have to look out for themselves. They need to better themselves, and by all means, definitely. But it, you know, it was kind of a little hard to swallow sometimes, and because in this industry you definitely get close with your coworkers. I mean, my staff is my family, and you know, being a small business, you know, I truly develop feelings as far as caring for them like my family, and you know, now that I'm getting a little older, you know, just 27 or something.
But, that's right. You don't look a day over 26.
Oh,
you're
thanks,
fine.
Thanks. You know, some of them are actually like daughters I've never had.
Sure.
You know, having two boys, you know, raising two boys, it's, you know, I can get a sense of what it's like to have the daughters. But yeah, it can hurt when one leaves and that. And we have definitely seen some come and some go, and you know, we definitely have our core group that has been with me for numerous years.
Right.
I think the biggest struggle right now, though, in this industry is we've, as an industry, have lost manager licensing in our industry, which has allowed any stylist to go out and rent booths and you know, you had those stylists that never really wanted to go for their manager's license because it's work. And so we had that benefit that they would stay with us.
Mm-hmm.
But since we lost that, you know, I think just the small business, the small salon industry
sure.
is definitely taking a hit.
So is that a Wisconsin thing or is that?
Right now it's a Wisconsin thing.
Okay.
Yep.
So just clarify that for people at home or like me that have no idea what you're talking
what
about.
What could I be talking about? Okay. Yeah, so know, with a cosmetology okay. license, you know, you get out of school, you go for your license.
Sure.
That allows you to go work in a salon.
Okay. In the state of Wisconsin.
In the state of Wisconsin. Okay. Correct. To be able to manage a salon, to rent a booth, mm-hmm. to even to be an independent contractor, you would need a manager's license.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Which you could take an external test at, okay. at any given point, or you could have, I believe it's 2,000 hours behind the chair.
Okay.
You also
it's
would
a fair
need,
amount of time.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a good 2-year process mm-hmm. for being behind the chair. And then having to take a test, mm-hmm. you know, similar to your practitioner's license
okay.
that you would get.
Sure.
It would be no, it would just be your practical. You wouldn't have another hands-on.
Okay.
So it was nice. You knew that the person that was running that salon or is behind that chair understood the laws and regulations mm-hmm. that the state of Wisconsin set for. So to
sure.
ensure that the people that are coming in, your clients, are safe.
Okay. From a cleanliness point of view?
Cleanliness, chemical.
Oh, sure.
Reason. We work with a lot of different chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
What a lot of, I guess, consumers don't understand that there could be chemical reactions. So,
sure.
you know, those are things that we need to learn about.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess having a manager's license would ensure that you understood those.
Sure. You have the experience and you understand. Yeah, okay.
Exactly. Makes exactly. Because when you get out of school, yeah, you know how to cut some hair, but you don't mm-hmm. really know some of the things that, you know, someone who I have been in the business
sure.
for almost 27 years
mm-hmm.
would know.
Right.
You know, I've seen certain things. I've seen how bleach can react with, you know, a certain kind of dye.
Sure.
You can definitely do scalp burns. And
mm-hmm.
so I guess that's kind of where we're at right now as an industry
gotcha.
Is. You know, small businesses really struggling to keep employees as stylists in
uh-huh.
the salon. So
because the stylists will try to go off on their own?
Correct. Correct.
Yes? Okay.
And, you know, they think it's because, you know, the salon industry is a commission-based industry.
Sure.
And so they think, okay, well, if you're paying $50 for a haircut,
mm-hmm.
You know, I'm getting all of that.
Oh, gotcha. All of it.
All of it. You
I
know,
have
like,
no expenses.
You know, we'll just say for all intents and purposes that, you know, they get 50% commission. So,
sure.
you know, they get $25. Well, they think that $25 that I have is just
sure.
free, clean and free in my pocket.
Oh, yeah. No expenses at all.
None at all. So it is misconceiving as well as, you know, there's a lot that goes on behind
mm-hmm.
the, a lot of costs that go on behind the
sure.
scenes. That,
well, a ton.
That a lot. And again, like, retail, you know, you talk
mm-hmm.
about retail and that's a big portion of our industry. And
sure,
you know, you're putting a lot of money into your hair,
mm-hmm.
you want to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of booth renters don't retail their products either. So
uh-huh.
it's kind of, I think I've heard through the grapevine that there might be some, that had tried the booth rentals that might be coming back to the salons because it's
sure.
not as easy as it looks. And,
no.
So
it seems expensive. My sister's cosmetologist?
Cosmetologist, okay. hairstylist.
Sure.
Yeah.
So she's bounced her own. Most recently, she's in Eugene, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And she's telling me about the prices to rent a chair or rent a building. She even looked at that small space.
Mm-hmm.
And just going through the numbers. Ew,
right.
I don't know.
And, you know, you have to think about liability insurances.
Yeah.
You have to think about. You know, well, I may not use this particular color on
right.
hair, but you need to have it just in case that one person comes
right,
in.
Right.
So there's a lot of overhead
mm-hmm.
that a lot of people don't think
yeah,
of.
Yeah, it's overhead and the risk versus reward. And
right.
yeah, there's something we said for guaranteed income. And I was like, let's just look at capacity. How many haircuts or colors or whatever can you do in a given week?
Right.
So what's the most amount of money you could possibly bring in from a revenue standpoint? And then just work it backwards from there.
Right.
I had a hard time justifying the risk.
It is. And, you know, if you don't have clients, you're not making
yeah.
money. And
right.
And that's what I try to explain, too. To, you know, obviously, everybody wants time off, too.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as a business owner, you have to try to pick and choose. Like, okay, I can only have one person off on this holiday
sure,
weekend.
Right?
Or nobody can be off during prom. Or,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's even with, you know, having you know, five of us stylists in there. We definitely could use more, but, you know, one of my stylists said, well, you know, we can handle the workload. And I'm like, but can we, you know, because it's like, you know, we have very little room, or, you know, you talk about taking time off. Well, I don't have the coverage, so you can't be off either. So, yeah, it's challenging, huh? It's very challenging.
I guess in the end, they're still trading money for time, so it makes more sense to.
They are, but you know.
I'm not saying
a commission too. It's like you're not going to get paid if you're not at work.
Right. That's what I mean. Yeah, when you're renting a space, renting your chair or something like that, you're still trading money for time. And maybe on the top of that P&L, that number looks higher. But once you get to the bottom, maybe not so much.
Right.
So at any rate, what do you do to attract employees to the business?
Oh well, you know, years ago you could put an ad out on Craigslist, put a sign out in the yard like I have, and you know, you'd have multiple inquiries, and you got to pick and choose. You got to, you know, have them come into you and have themselves sell them to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's, as a business, we're trying to sell ourselves to
the
stylist.
The tables have turned.
They have turned.
Not in a good way.
Right. I had recently went to Madison College for the upcoming graduating class out of their cosmetology program, and there was, I believe, 12 graduating. 12. Yeah. And so when you think
there's probably
12,
about 50 of you there waiting, just celebrating for those 12.
And it was. And, you know, it's what can I offer you as a small business? You know, as a small business, again, when you're talking insurance and
benefits are a challenge. Yeah.
You know, I try to look at what is going to be the least amount of impact on me, but make a benefit to them. You know, unfortunately, as a small business, I've never been able to afford healthcare.
Sure.
To provide my staff with
healthcare. You're not alone there. That's still broken.
Yeah, that's very broken. I would love to be able to provide that, because I think that this day and age is definitely a selling point.
Right.
I've tried to make up for that with offering paid vacations, a retirement plan. I you know, match that up to 3%.
Sure.
I have been looking at different options. I'm now looking into providing them with a disability insurance, which isn't something that they've had in the past.
Sure.
Along with, you know, the option to buy into like a life insurance policy, and that as well. So I think it's hopefully going to be as little impact on me, but be more beneficial to them.
Right. That's fair.
So.
12. That's crazy.
12. Yeah. So, and you think of, I mean, there's, I think, 12 pie salons just on Main Street here in Sun Prairie.
Right.
And that's just, you're talking for Madison area and surrounding communities.
Yeah. It's interesting.
And then some.
It's interesting because everyone that's sitting in the chair that you're sitting in has that same problem, right? The unemployment rate is so low that the people that you're getting applying are kind of bottom of the barrel people, right?
Oh yeah, they'll come in and look at their phones as they're, you know, I'm asking them questions and they're looking at their phone.
Oh, for the interview?
Am I keeping you for something? Right, yeah. So.
You got something else going on.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting conundrum because then I think, okay, you got apartment buildings going up next to your place, which means that essentially the city of Sun Prairie is growing. Madison area in general is growing. Population universally doesn't seem to be going down.
No.
So, and you look at something like restaurants or haircut, people are going to need their haircuts, all these new people.
Right.
So those new people are going to need people to cut their hair. And if you can't find people to do these services, because insert issue here, right? Unemployment's low.
Right.
Whatever is going on that's causing that. It seems like it's a huge challenge just across the board from a service industry.
It is. You know, I think the other challenge too, especially with, you know, these young people coming out of school and you know, whether it's a cosmetology program or I guess business program for that matter. You know, the generations coming out, their work
ethic
is a little different than what I'm used to.
Right. You have to have them show up.
right. You know, they actually have to work when they're there.
Right. You're picky.
I know. You know, and that's definitely a challenge too.
Sure.
You know, especially with young people coming in, it's. I think that as a mother of two boys in this new era coming up, I can contest to that too. You know, I think I hold their hand a little too long,
sure.
or, you know, you don't want them to fail. So you try to give them everything and as long as you can, I guess. And you're not encouraging them to get out and stand on their own 2 feet.
No, so. That's fair. You know, interesting side story here. My kid fell out of a tree last night.
Oh my goodness, I hope he's okay.
Yeah, he's fine. We took him to the urgent care thing and nothing's broken or anything. So he just tweaked his wrist, right?
Yeah.
But I'm like, as long as you learn something from that, it's probably good that you fell out of the tree.
Right.
Because that just means that you won't fall from a more dangerous place later because you learned.
Like, okay, if I fell 5 feet, you know, that hurt. I can't imagine what 20 feet would do.
Yeah, these are the results, right? Yeah. So in the end, you kind of have to fail forward more or less or just learn from your mistakes and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to coddling kids, you see that, like, I've had employees where you just wonder, like, who are your parents?
Right.
Or where have you worked before that this is acceptable?
I guess a good, I don't know what's the word I'm looking for, but example.
Sure.
You know, I had a young girl come into me, and this was for a receptionist position. And,
okay.
You know, our receptionists are an important part of our
sure.
day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they allow us so that we can focus our time
right.
on our clients and
yep.
not have to go away and answer
right.
phones or, you know, wash towels,
sure.
do anything like that.
Sure. So the first face, the greeter of the company.
Right. You know, offer a beverage, that kind of thing. And I had this young girl tell me that she didn't think it was going to work because she didn't realize she was going to have to work so hard. Wow. Okay.
What is the job that you were aiming for?
Exactly. I'm like, I didn't think it was that hard, but...
Sure.
You know, it just...
Saying hi to people was this challenge.
Yeah. It just... I don't know. I guess that's just the mentality that's out there right now is like, all right, I want to work for as much money as I possibly can doing the least amount of possible.
Sure.
That's
and
a challenge.
And that'll get me anything I want in the rest of for the rest of my life, right?
So that's a really big challenge, and I'm sure it's with any industry, but...
Sure. Interesting. Yeah, I totally see it on my end as well. You see people that... when you show them what's part of the job with calls on call specifically in answering phones and all that jazz, they're just like, oh.
Right.
Yeah, you actually have to work. And I wouldn't call it, I don't want to dare say that it's not hard work, because it's probably hard work to a point, but it's not like you're digging ditches or something like that, right?
No, I mean, it's definitely a physical, I mean, whether you're talking about stylist or receptionist, I mean, I've filled in for the receptionist and you are moving,
sure.
but... I mean, it's not...
It's not the end of the world.
No.
We've all had worse jobs.
Doing a load of laundry, cleaning a toilet. But you know, being a hairstylist, though, it definitely is a very physical, demanding job.
No, I remember my sister had her wrist was tweaked.
Oh, it's... A lot of things get tweaked.
Yeah, sure. And I suppose you're standing all day and... Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's nothing for us to work a 12-hour day.
And, oh, wow.
You know, we put long hours
sure.
in.
Sure. Yeah. Having conversations with all the people that you're doing their hair.
Mm-hmm.
I got to hear the same story.
Yeah. So physically and emotionally draining. Let's go
sure.
there.
The cheapest therapist they'll ever have, right?
It is a wonderful, wonderful industry, but it...
Sure.
Yeah.
So I get the impression that you were doing hair for quite a while before you owned this business. Is that correct? Or?
Yep. I worked in a salon, I guess it would have been about 27 years ago when I graduated from cosmetology school. Yeah.
So you've been doing this that entire time, or more or less that entire time?
More or less.
Because you're still cutting hair now. Or,
I am.
I say cutting hair, I just
no,
stuff
I totally
universally.
Get it. Yep, no. It's.
I don't know what you guys do. It's magic behind the chair for some people.
That's okay. I did get out of the salon, working in the salon for about 6 years.
Okay.
Did it part-time.
Sure.
On the side.
Yeah.
But.
So it's just a love of it? Or?
It's. I do love it. It just, I think for me, it's a matter of making somebody feel good about themselves.
Sure. Okay.
You know, it you kind of see that when somebody comes in, they're feeling, oh my God, I didn't do my hair. Or, you know, it's like, no need, you know, I'll
sure.
do it for you. But, you know, when they leave, they hold themselves up a little higher.
Sure.
They, you know, almost have a bounce in their step. And, you know, they feel good. And,
sure.
And that's why. And you know, you get some clients too that come in and they've just have had a horrible day, and
sure,
you know, with us doing our magic,
right,
we're able to hopefully lift them up a little bit, or we're that one person that has actually had the time to listen to them
sure
today.
Sure.
It's all over the place, so
nice.
It's just whether you make them feel good because you have done their hair or their nails.
Right.
It always seems to put a smile on someone's face.
That's fair. So you enjoy that? That's super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can tell you the neck rubs that you guys do. Oh my God. I'm that's the best 30 seconds for about a month. Right.
And that's it, you know.
It's just so chill.
And that's what I tell my staff, you know, when we have a staff meeting, it's, you know, we are in that industry that customers have choices. They can totally go anywhere.
Right. Yeah, like you said, there's 12,
yeah,
probably, and, whatever, I don't know. There's a lot of them.
There's a ton of them. And, you know, we need to be able to set ourselves apart. We need to give something to this customer that they're not going to get down the street.
Sure.
The full experience, the full package.
Right.
You know, that's why we use quality products. That's mm-hmm. why we are always striving to see what's better
mm-hmm.
and upcoming in mm-hmm. the industry, and what's going to be good for your hair. And
sure.
So knowing that, you know, my personal, like, I will personally vouch that if we are selling a product in the salon or we're endorsing it, we've put our time and our education behind it, and okay. knowing that it's the best possible thing that we can
sure.
give you right now.
Nice.
Yeah.
So is it, I don't know how the salon industry changes. So is it tough to keep up with all that, or is that?
They're always changing products. They're always, you know, the biggest thing now, you know, a lot of people, whether it's, you know, ingested or even topical, there's the biggest thing is, you know, having products that are gluten-free.
Ingested?
Well, you know, like if people have a gluten intolerance.
Oh, gotcha.
Or some people have a topical intolerance.
Sure.
Too. So we need to make sure that, you know, you're providing products that mm-hmm. can offer that to clients.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of sulfates in some products,
mm-hmm.
which are very harsh on the hair. And again, I had mentioned before about, you know, your hair is an investment. You're putting a lot
sure.
of money, especially if, you know, people are doing all these specialty colors mm-hmm. and whatnot. You know, we need to know that we are providing the support products so
sure.
that their hair is going to stay, you know, luminous and
sure.
and that. So, yeah, we always are looking to provide the best. And
sure. Is it tough to keep up on hairstyles? Because those seem to be changing all the time.
They do.
And I imagine there's an art to a lot of that I'm completely oblivious
right.
to.
Yeah, and that's another thing with this industry is continuing education is so big. And,
sure.
you know, as a salon, I require that out of my stylist because, you know, again, I mentioned I've been doing this 27 years and I have never stopped learning, whether it's on the
sure.
business end or on the style end.
Not a whole lot of mullets anymore or anything.
Yeah, we don't see that too
I'm just
often.
To
you get one in occasionally.
Sure.
But, yeah.
I'm just trying to think. 27 years ago, what was the hair 27 years ago?
Oh, yeah. It's wonderful to be part of that era. You know, big
sure.
bangs,
a lot
and
of
big
hairspray,
hair.
The rat trap.
Oh,
sure.
Oh, sure. Yep. But it's a wonderful industry that is continuously changing. But
mm-hmm.
I totally lost my
train. So what was your favorite part about owning this business?
I think the favorite part is to be able to create something that,
mm-hmm.
that is your own personal vision.
Sure.
You know, I when I wasn't necessarily out to have a salon, you know, once I knew it was going in that direction and,
mm-hmm.
and that, I always said that I wanted to have a salon that people feel like it is their home,
sure.
you know, like it's their second home,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of times, a lot of them spend more time there than they do at home.
Wow.
So, you know,
that is crazy.
I know, especially during the holiday season.
Wow.
But you want to make sure that they know they're welcome.
Okay.
You know, whether it's the staff or clients.
Sure.
I want them to be comfortable and
sure.
I've worked for salons that have been very catty and
uh-huh.
you know, even I mean I've always been wanting to be a hairstylist, so even before I was even a hairstylist I was a receptionist at a very large salon
mm-hmm.
in the Madison area. I won't mention names or
sure.
anything, but I said I just remember being in the storeroom and it was right next to the break room and there was probably six stylists in there and I think they talked about 10 different ones.
Uh-huh.
And you know, I just said, God, if I ever have a salon, I would never want one like that.
Sure.
You know, and that's why I think, you know, when we are looking for employees and we're looking to expand our family,
mm-hmm.
they have to fit. They have to.
Or it's a huge culture.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big deal.
You know, I definitely look into that as well as, you know, we're bringing you as part of our family. And,
right.
You know,
the assumption is they know what they're doing from a hair point of view, but then right. you have to make sure that they fit with the personality of the business and
right.
that your clients will like it right. and all that. So, yeah.
Right.
It's
but,
a huge deal.
You know, it's nice, though, that when clients walk into that, they just have that feeling that they're welcome to, mm-hmm. you know, they,
mm-hmm.
again, they have choices and there's
sure.
salons that you can look like you have to wear a black tie to, or, you know,
oh, sure.
there's ones that you could probably go in your pajamas, but, you know, we definitely want to let people know we don't care of your background. We don't
sure.
care where you came from, what you wear.
Mm-hmm.
We don't care if you're just coming from work and you smell like food or grease or
right.
whatever is,
mm-hmm.
you know, come as you are. We're going to take care of you regardless.
Nice.
And that's, I guess my biggest joy out of owning is knowing
sure.
that I can provide that to people.
Sure. That's fair. So if you were to do it all over again, would you do it the same or what would you do differently?
That's a good question. That depends on the day. you know, some
certain
days
you're like, no.
Yeah. Some days I wonder why did I do this? You know, some day it's going to all pay off. Like my husband's still saying, I'm waiting for that day. but it's some days I wonder if I would have stayed out of the salon industry, you know.
Overall,
if I would be as happy or, you know.
Okay.
But even, like, you know, with the salon, I think, gosh, there are days I wonder, should I have even bought the business or the building
sure.
and just rented a salon, rented
sure.
a booth myself. But, you know, I think that there's something to be said about talking amongst each other
right.
and bouncing ideas off each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you get me on a bad day, I'd be like, I would not do this ever again. But most days, you know, especially with the staff that I have
sure.
and that, I don't think I would change much of anything because
that's
think
awesome.
The things that you go through in life kind of make you who you are
sure.
and where you are today. And
mm-hmm.
I'm great.
That's awesome.
I do. I love my staff and
yeah.
You know, you have good days and bad days, but.
Oh, every business owner does.
Yeah.
There are days where you're like, oh, this yeah. is a deep hole.
Yeah.
What am I going to do now?
Yeah.
And other days where you're like, why doesn't everybody do this? This is magical.
Yep.
So,
I have learned to focus my energies on things that matter and try
mm-hmm.
to alleviate the stresses that don't. And,
right.
You know, so that's something that I do personally. Like,
that
you
is
know.
So awesome that you said that because I've had some recent challenges in my business with we'll just call it competition and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, I'm like, is it really competition? And some of my employees are like, you got to pursue this. You got to fix this, nip this in the bud kind of thing, set an example. And I'm like, that's just kind of focusing on negativity. And I don't want
right.
to deal with that negative energy because once you do that, then
mm-hmm.
I would treat that like anything else where I would just want to push until I accomplished it.
Right.
And what is the goal there? Right. The goal is just. It's just a negative thing. I don't want to deal with that.
Exactly.
You could spend that same amount of energy growing in a positive direction than knocking somebody mm-hmm. else down in a negative way. So.
Yeah, I went to a class. I've been through different business classes in
sure.
the industry, you know, that are focused on salons. And
mm-hmm.
the one thing that we use at our salon, and, you know, it's kind of a joke, but, you know, we tell them, you know, stay out of the red or, you know, stay out of the funnel. And, you know, they
sure.
talk about this tornado that
okay.
you know when you talk about employees and stuff and you talk about focusing on the negative
mm-hmm.
and that sometimes you have to remind them that you know you don't want one person to ruin everything and
mm-hmm.
so you talk about this tornado and you can picture going in a break room and this person comes in and they're in a bad mood and they're
sure.
just stirring the pot and they're stirring this tornado
right.
and they're getting it going
sure.
and then the next person walks in and then it's like they suck them in.
And
then, you know, by the end of the day, the entire salon is all
sure.
at each other and, you know, whatnot. And so if somebody seems like they're heading towards the tornado or creating a tornado, we're like, you know, get out of the red.
Sound
and,
the sirens.
Yeah. Sound the sirens. You're creating a tornado. And
sure.
So it just, I don't know. You have to look at the positive. If
sure.
you don't, it's, you know. Sometimes mm-hmm. I even have to remind myself that too. And
no, it's fair. That's totally fair.
Yeah.
The it's interesting. I wrote the book, right? The Bold Business Book, mm-hmm. and in there I have all this advice in regards to stuff like that I give a lot of people. And there's sometimes when I have to go back to that and say, wait, what did I tell people they should do?
Mm-hmm.
That's good advice. I should probably take that.
Right. And, you know, even as a business owner, I've noticed too, and my staff has even told me, like, if something sets me off and I get cranky and, mm-hmm. and that, it sets the mood for everybody there
too.
Oh,
I bet.
You know, they just like, oh my gosh.
Sure.
You know, stay away from Nikki today. Right. Or
you got to be on your game.
I do. You know, it's like I said, it's, you know, I have to set an example.
Sure.
And you know, be a leader and not try to bring the ship down. And
sure.
So it's a lot to take on, you know,
sure.
for one person. And, you know, I know it's going to sound corny, but it's like lately I've been trying to even meditate at night just to
nothing
show
wrong with that.
Mm-hmm. get rid of that negative energy and
sure.
so that I can start fresh. But, you know, whether it's a client or a stylist or, mm-hmm. or whatnot, you know, people have lives outside of their jobs and
sure.
outside of their business. And
at least you hope they do.
Yeah, at least they hope they do. Yeah, there's some people that you do wonder about, but... You know, I'm finding that you don't know what people are going
oh,
in their
totally.
Life. And, you know, so if they seem a little cranky,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't know. I guess, you know, as if a client was to come into me and as a stylist, I feel like it's up to me to help them feel better.
Right.
And, you know, I've had clients, too, that they've been unfortunate enough to, you know, catch me at something and, you know, and... I have clients that will take care of me too, and I think
sure.
that that's kind of what it's all about, is creating relationships and
mm-hmm.
and you know, some of them are lifelong, and
right.
that's awesome. That's
right.
why I love what I do, because
that's super
I feel
cool.
like I make new friends, not necessarily clients.
Yeah,
I guess.
That's fair. Totally fair. Are you well, what it sounds like we talked about a lot of stuff going on there. The driving force that you have, what motivates you to get out of bed and tackle this thing every day?
Just knowing that people are depending on me.
Mm, okay, that's huge.
Yeah.
People being employees
clients,
as well as clients.
My
okay.
clients, my staff. You know, if I don't show up, what gives them the...
Sure.
The
all of a sudden they have the out.
Yeah, like, well, if you're not going to show up, why should I show up?
Sure.
And as well with clients, you know, it's... Sometimes you got to be like... And I tell my staff that too. If you don't feel good, you got to ask yourself... How bad do I feel? Because you can always feel worse tomorrow.
Sure.
And, there's people that are counting on you. There's people,
mm-hmm.
my staff is counting on for me to get out of bed and open the salon.
Mm-hmm.
My clients are counting on me because maybe they took the day off from work. They
sure.
had to arrange childcare. They mm-hmm. had to, you know, for whatever reason,
right.
you know, made it possible for them to be there too. And,
sure.
you know, if I just blow them off and,
right.
sorry, I can't come in today, or, you know,
right.
it's a habit. Then I'm not going to have a business
right.
and stuff. So, I mean, I know things come up and, you know,
mm-hmm.
if you're sick, you're sick. But
right.
you know, it just...
No, it's a two-way promise, right?
It is.
They
it
promise
really
to do
is.
The job and you promise to pay them and take care of them.
Right.
So
nothing
totally
would
fine.
Make me happier than to retire and, you know, be on a beach in Mexico somewhere. But,
right.
But you know, I can honestly say I love my staff. I love my clients. And
mm-hmm.
I just want to make sure that they know that they can rely on me.
Sure. That's fair.
So.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So what holds for the future for Haradise?
Well,
let's call it the next 3 to 5 years.
In the next 3 to 5 years yeah. is...
Beyond that, it's too soon to tell.
Yeah, right. Totally. I just want to keep on... I want to keep on building my business and,
mm-hmm.
and creating a business that hopefully I can hand down to one of my employees.
Sure.
Oh,
interesting. Specifically
yeah.
one of your employees. That's awesome.
Yep. I always think that I have someone in mind and,
right.
and not necessarily. It just... you know, they work hard for me and
mm-hmm.
they,
so, you know, they would take care of it.
They would take
care
of it.
Take care of the clients and keep
right.
the culture going. And sure.
Right. Right. So, you know, I mean, my long-term goal is to definitely get into a position where I can work my way out of the chair
mm-hmm.
from behind the chair and work focusing on managing it and building
sure.
the business. So, you know, whether, I guess if it's not one of my employees, somebody
right.
has a profitable and turnkey business that
mm-hmm.
they can hopefully buy from me and
right.
help me retire someday.
Nice.
So, all my hard work is going to pay off someday. But
right. And your husband will be like, finally, Nikki.
Yeah. yeah.
Say,
now somebody else
so.
Is taking the, you know, getting the advantage of it. But
sure.
But yeah, I just, you know, we're just trying to be a better, be sure. the best version of us we can be.
Sure. Fair. So if someone was to start a hair salon business, let's just say it's not in Sun Prairie, right? Not direct competition. What is some of the advice that you would give them?
Do your homework. As far as just the fine line, the fine print, I guess. Mm. You know, it's not all about just opening the door and coming in and doing hair. There's sure. a lot you have to look at.
There's a back end.
There's a back end, and just be educated mm-hmm. on, you know, what benefits that you can offer. And, you know, unfortunately and fortunately at the same time, I've had staff that has watched me grow and mm-hmm. are still watching me grow. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I've had staff that have jumped ship and, you know, because they didn't like the changes that I was making.
Oh, gotcha. But, okay. For better or worse?
For better or worse. And, you know, and usually if I make a change in the salon, it, obviously it's hopefully for the better.
Right. That's the idea, but I guess you don't know until after the fact, right?
Right. But just, you know, and follow through with mm-hmm. what you say. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of things in the past that I'm like, oh, this would be really nice and we talk about it, but,
right.
you know, life gets busy and then you just don't implement it. And,
right.
you know, I think that that's definitely a fault on me that I've mm-hmm. learned that I need to make sure that if I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to stick to it and do it.
Sure. So, sure. That makes sense. So if someone was starting a business universally on their own, not necessarily hair, mm-hmm. what would you recommend to them that they do ahead of time? Or some advice that you would give them?
Again, I just, you know, be educated. I think okay. that whether, you know, it is starting a business or in what you want to do is, you know, education is power. Mm-hmm. You know, it's something that nobody's ever going to take back from you. And,
sure.
you know, it's...
You own it.
You own it. And when you're starting a business, it's... You're never going to know everything. But,
right.
you know, just know that you surround yourself with quality people and people that know sure. what they're doing. And
fair.
Ask questions, lots right. of questions.
That's awesome. No such thing as being too smart.
No.
So the last question that I have for you is about hair universally. If you were to give advice to someone that has hair, whether they use you guys or not, what would you tell them? Is there something that they should do or stay away from or something that you see people do and you're like, oh, this.
I guess, you know, if it's to them directly about their hair is you want it. Forever, you know, it's sure. not something anybody ever wants to lose.
I know, I'm losing mine, so that's it wasn't requested by me.
Take care of it. You know, there is value in quality salon products, and you know, when we try to explain the benefits of it, know that it is coming from our heart and that it's not we're sure. not trying to just
hustle us on some whatever.
Right, right. That there is a difference and know that. But you know, and it's kind of a side note and just kind of what you want people to know and,
sure.
and especially about this industry and, mm-hmm. and stuff is, you know, I think the biggest, and I don't know if this, hopefully this is appropriate, but,
it's all good.
Yeah, it's all good. I think it's just a misconception of, you know, people are like, why do you charge so much? Or why is a color sure. so expensive? And, you know, it's kind of like, well, you know, you're paying for my education
right.
that I have put behind here to right. ensure that you're going to get what you want.
It doesn't cost so much. You're getting a lot of value.
You're getting value. You're getting mm-hmm. you're getting quality. You're getting, mm-hmm. you know, that I have put my time and my resources behind everything I'm doing so
right.
that I can provide you and have your hair look amazing when you walk out the door.
Right.
You know, because like I said, there are options and, you know. Again, we're just trying to provide sure. the best possible thing. So,
how much worse would you like it to look?
Yeah, exactly. So,
that's awesome. Know. Nikki, well, cool. How can people find you?
We are located on 1109 West Main Street in Sun Prairie.
Okay. Just look for the bulldozers, right?
Look for the bulldozers. Yeah, we're right across Kitty Corner from St. Benny's.
Okay.
And our phone number is 608-837-0133, or we do online booking as well.
Nice.
Through our website at www.hairdyesalon.com.
Hairdyesalon.com. Awesome. Nikki, this has been a blast.
Yeah, it's been good.
This has been fun. We learned a ton from Nikki. This has been Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land, coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kademan, and Authentic Business Adventures is brought to you by Calls on Call, offering call answering and receptionist services for small businesses across the country on the web at callsoncall.com, as well as Draw In Customers Business Coaching, offering business coaching services for entrepreneurs in all stages of their business. on the web at drawincustomers.com, and of course, The Bold Business Book, a book for the entrepreneur in all of us, available on Amazon and wherever fine books are sold. We'd like to thank you, our wonderful listeners, as well as our guest, Nikki Conkle, owner of Paradise Salon in Sun Prairie. Nikki, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
This has been great. Find us airing on 103.5 Wednesdays at 1 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m., as well as at sunprairiemediacenter.com. Past episodes can be found morning, noon, and night at the podcast link, found at drawincustomers.com. Thank you for listening. We will see you next week. I want you to stay awesome. And if you do nothing else, enjoy your business.